I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is your safe space for you independent thinkers out there. I am your radio show host of thought and reason. I'm going to talk today a little bit about Trump's speech yesterday and his trip over to the church. Certainly a lot's going on in the news. I look at things over the past week, and I got to tell you, I kind of just want off this ride. I've been exploring YouTube channels of, you know, how to build small, inexpensive, off-grid homes. And at this point, it just feels like that's the best long-term plan I can think of. I saw a headline that said that in the face of the pandemic, expats looking for places around the world, sunny beach destinations to retire to, is kind of off the table, to which I say nonsense. For somebody who is not scared of the coronavirus pandemic, this may be a great time to pick up some cheap real estate in some tropical area, and maybe it's time to start shopping in that area. I do not see any solutions coming forth for the problems that plague this country right now. They're there. There are certainly things we could do, but much like the Hillary Clinton defeat of 2016, where the Democrats decided to throw all in with the idea that Russia's $46,000 in Facebook ads and some Google ads totaling about $100,000 between the two of them somehow tilted the election and threw it to Donald Trump, and refused, and many people on the left were equally disgusted with this because they refused to self-examine the Hillary Clinton presidency, with all of her flaws and how many people disliked her. They refused to self-examine, and I believe that's what we will see as a country coming out of what we're coming out of now. This will subside either violently or it will peter out. These things have a way of working themselves out, but we will continue to not address the underlying causes of the problems that we see. And no solutions will be arrived at. With 40 million people currently unemployed, hopefully that figure starts to trend in the other direction here soon. The problems of social unrest are not over by a long shot because we refuse to actually address the cause of these things. And it's not racism, and it's not just the one cop and George Floyd. But it is just, I'll get into it some today. Trump made the comment yesterday, I am your president of law and order. A lot of people I know appreciate that. Listen, I've got kids. I'd like to see a civil society and there be a protective force against any aggression from another human being. But we continually miss the point that we've created a nation of so many laws that the order requires more and more and more enforcements. We've taken police officers from peace officers, which is what they were back in the 60s and 70s when the country was flourishing, and turned them into law enforcement. And we'll get into that in just a second. As well, I do try to look for some bright sides. I got one big bright side here for all of the problems that we face with unemployment, with the riots, with the looting, with the burning of cities across the country. At least we don't have this. Apocalyptic swarm of deadly mutant ticks invade Russia with 2,125 children affected. So there you go. We are currently not experiencing deadly mutant ticks. Knock on wood. As we hear, there's a potential tropical storm / hurricane forming in the Gulf right now, waiting for that to make landfall. I'm going to be watching the skies for the asteroid that is surely headed our way. 2020 is something else. I know why people sometimes tune into my show and think that I'm kind of leftist. I was looking at the headlines yesterday. This was on Drudge Report. Bernie, referring to Bernie Sanders, his comment was, "Ultra-rich have been looting for 40 years." And that sounds like exactly something said yesterday on the Mike Madison show. Yet, I got to tell you, Bernie ain't wrong. He's not wrong. Now, he's trying to deflect from the current looting going on now, but he's not wrong. The reason there's looting in the streets right now is because there's been looting at the corporate level, at the Wall Street level for actually probably close to 100 years, but pretty bad over the last 20 to 30 years. One of the most morally acceptable things I've seen, I'm sure people have seen this, I believe that I heard Jameson talking about it yesterday on his show, was this. I watched the video. I don't normally watch a lot of fight videos and those kinds of things. I don't like to kind of wallow in that hate, but this one kind of piqued my interest, and this was the video of J.R. Smith beating the crap out of some punk who broke his car window. Have you seen this thing? J.R. Smith being he was 6'6" or 6'4", 225, and some scrawny little white kid, and all of his enthusiasm for busting up stuff messed with the wrong car, and J.R. Smith took him down. And I got to tell you, America needs more of that. Yeah, there used to be a day where if you did something, if you were aggressive towards somebody else, they defended themselves, they put you down. It was a quick fight. J.R. Smith didn't kill the guy. The guy scurried off, having learned a very valuable lesson. It was a very quick exchange, and J.R. Smith doesn't actually probably need restitution. Not that it's fair, but he's a man of means. He can repair his window. But he taught this punk a lesson within a minute of the thing. No courts involved, no lawsuits. Now, who knows? This kid may actually try to file suit against being beaten up by an NBA star, but that would take a serious set of cojones. But it was just, I don't know, there's something refreshing about that kind of instant karma. You know, you see this sometimes. I think there was a guy that was trying to light a building on fire a couple days ago and set himself on fire. But justice administered between two people like that was, I don't know, kind of refreshing, and that stood in stark contrast to, I don't follow this stuff. So I don't know, NBA writer, what's this guy's name? Chris Palmer. Did you see his series of tweets that is so illustrative of so many of these people who, it's the not in my backyard syndrome. I got to tell you, this is really prevalent on the left. They really want the homelessness solved, but as long as it's solved out of their eyesight so they don't have to look at the scourge of homelessness. You know, you try to open up a shelter in their neighborhood. They're not down with that. They really have all their heart and love and light go out to the homeless people, but for love of God, don't put it in my neighborhood. It's the NIMBY thing, not in my backyard. Chris Palmer had tweeted out an image of what apparently was an affordable housing complex. Now, I don't know if I'm falling for some level of propaganda by saying that, but that's what it was referred to. And Chris Palmer sends out a picture of this building burning. He says, "Burn that blank down. Burn it all down." He's very enthusiastic about the burning of buildings during this protest movement. That was followed by a tweet not too much longer than that, I guess the next day, that said, "They just attacked our sister community down the street. It's a gated community, and they tried to climb the gates. They had to beat them back. They destroyed a Starbucks and are now in front of my building. Get these animals, TF, out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live." And so this is real-time hypocrisy right in front of you. It's everybody really gets excited about what goes on when it's happening to other people, but when it starts to affect them, they don't seem to quite be down with what's going on. I got a bunch of notes. I want to get back. Some of the stuff I do today may be pretty controversial. I guess I'll issue my standard trigger warning for this show, because I have a topic I want to get to probably next hour. Maybe I'll get swamped up in the news, or if you want to call in 601-879-0002, give your take. I want to talk about Trump's speech. I want to talk about Trump's move to go over to the church yesterday. In my opinion, terrible optics. Just a a ladled up silver platter issue to hand to the mainstream media, and I think with some justification for clearing out the square so we could come there. But I know I imagine, and I have seen evidence over the course of the night reading comments about this, that a lot of people are very supportive of the law and order and the very tough tone deploying the military. I got to tell you, I'm pretty skeptical of a lot of those things while I see the need to do it. Not an easy situation. I will certainly say that. This is not an easy situation. So I'll ask later, too, what would you do if you were president of the United States or if you were kind of in charge of bringing the peace? What do you do? How do you inflict force? How do you enforce law and order during a protest that is around the idea of police brutality? That
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Find another possible bright spot to what we see right now is I'll bet you there are going to be a lot more people a little bit more enthusiastic about the Second Amendment should this thing peter out with what we see happening to some of these store owners, people having to defend their property against large groups of people. Not only is the Second Amendment going to be revisited by a great number of people, gun sales apparently are up right now, which is certainly understandable. I would imagine there are some people in these inner cities that may have been, you know, really anti-Second Amendment people that suddenly realize, hey, it's kind of nice that I can run out and grab something to protect myself if I need to. And to add on to that, because of the crowds that we are seeing in these particular situations, some people might rethink this idea that you don't need that high-capacity magazine for hunting. This is what they say. They think that they've got it all figured out, why you could ever want a weapon and what it should be used for and how many rounds you should be able to possess. Well, now you are seeing attacks by hundreds of people on small shops as they're burned and looted to the ground, and there may be more people that are a little bit open. I mean, this is the illustration. This is the illustration for the fact that you should be armed and there should be no limits on how armed you are. Because it's not always a thief or two breaking into your home at 2 a.m. Sometimes it's 6 p.m. and there's 200 people, and the last thing you want to do when a mob is rushing you is run out of ammo. So this may be something that certainly turns some people's minds around on that issue. Now, on the downside of this, I threw up on my mouth a little bit when I saw this headline. Joe Biden, quote, "I will help lead the conversation on the country's pain." Oh, God. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine having to listen to that guy pander and pontificate about these issues of race in America? And he really feels the people's pain. This man who has been an elite his entire life, never worked for anything his entire life, but he feels that he is the understanding ear. You know, I hope it seems like a lot of the black community supports Joe Biden. I'm not exactly sure why, but boy, just thinking of having to listen to him walk us through this thing is enough to make you nauseous. If the pandemic and then the riots and the violence in the streets was not movie-like enough for you, I ran across this yesterday. Anonymous has put out a video, and I wanted to play it and maybe talk about it just a little bit. Now, I am not anti-police. This is a situation of there being some bad police officers over there out there that have They've done some horrible things over the years. That just the same way that there are bad teachers and there are bad, there's bad everything. There's bad attorneys. There's bad people in every single profession out there. Unfortunately, for the police, when their people go off the rails, often it's filmed, and it ends up sometimes in death, not just, you know, not just mistakes. Also, seeing what the police, the attacks that they are under right now, but, you know, there's so much blame to go around in this thing. There really is. But these police officers who have a job that they rely on to feed their families, and they are sent out into the streets to interact with these people. Sometimes it's beautiful to see the scenes of the police officers who engage with protesters and come to some understanding and walk away, you know, good, peaceful protesters who have a legitimate gripe, and police officers who understand it and say that they are with them. The police and the communities should be more together. I lay this, I'm telling you, I know I'm a broken record, but I lay a lot of this on the war on drugs, which has created this whole class. Everybody's a suspect that they may be holding something that is deemed by politicians to be illegal, a plant. Of course, you can consume a plant if it's a beer. You can consume a plant if it's a glass of wine. You can consume a plant if it's a bottle of whiskey. But you can't consume a plant if you might light it up and smoke it. Now, you can come drug test me right now. I don't smoke marijuana. But this arbitrary thing, this has made the relations between the community and the police force horrible. I do not blame the police officers for that. I blame the politicians and the bureaucrats who, for their own purposes, create new laws and then take these guys out and say, all right, go enforce it. Go roust everybody up. Anybody who does what we say is no good, go get them. And unfortunately, those politicians are certainly supported by a large number of people, and now you're seeing the results of that, in my humble opinion here. But the attacks on the police are absolutely brutal. We've seen the cars going into crowds of police. At the same time, we saw in the clearing out yesterday, we saw this, and again, this might just be one of those bad actors, the police going down and just attacking what I guess apparently turned out to be an Australian film crew. You may have seen this video. The cops are moving everybody along. There's a guy, he's a cameraman. He's sitting, I believe he was sitting, filming what was going on in the street, and he is attacked with a riot shield and then punched in the face. And there is video of this guy sitting there just filming. That's all he's doing. So, look, this is a volatile situation. My heart goes out to the police that are out there just trying to keep everybody calm, but I have very little tolerance or sympathy for a cop that smashes somebody in the face with a riot shield who's attempting to film the situation. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. Got a couple of questions or to get your thoughts on some matters. What have you heard that some of what I'd read was Joe Biden's staff is sending money to legal defense fund for the rioters?
Well, I had seen that. I think maybe it was in one of the last protests, but I guess I've seen so many headlines. Are you talking about in Minneapolis?
Well, anywhere, you know, primarily there because that's where it started.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on those things, that would have to be on an individual basis. I mean, we say that they're sending it bail money for the rioters. And listen, to anybody who's listening to the show, I am no Joe Biden fan, but I'd like to know the facts about that. There are going to be some peaceful protesters that find themselves swept up in that, and they should be defended. But this idea that you're just going to go in and wholesale try to bail everybody out is ridiculous. If that's the case, then that's horrible.
Well, then the other thing that I've read in headlines or reports on that they're finding that they're pre-staged pallets of rocks and bricks.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that.
Pre-planned before the riots began. And, you know, some of these guys have got maps in their hands and they're coordinating it. And, you know, you think, okay, this, you know, this has got to be pre-planned, coordinated, that they want chaos. They want property damage and stuff like that. And, of course, last time when they were doing all these riots, some money was traced back to George Soros and organizations like that who was funding Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the case this time, too.
Yeah, we talked about that some yesterday. There's certainly been some video footage of some pretty shady characters Some of them look like they might be police, undercover police. This happens. It happened during civil rights. It's happened at other times where you try to discredit protest movements by making them look violent. And what I talked about yesterday is, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of people. Soros is definitely among them, and as is Antifa. But, you know, the problem is, man, there are so many shady operations out there, from our own government to George Soros to, you know, any of these groups that want to foment something to make one group look bad or to take advantage of a situation. I mean, there's so many nasty players out there, and I don't know we'll ever really know the truth, but there's definitely some shadiness going on. There's no doubt about that.
Well, like, you know, when they were phrasing the gun rights groups, like, for example, the group that, you know, they armed with, you know, load-bearing vests and stuff like that, and they show up, like, in Michigan or in Virginia, the media calls them thugs and do everything they can to discredit them and stuff like that. But then when you have these, and I'm going to call them rioters, I'm going to call them by their name, the media wants to give them coverage and say, oh, you know, they're protesters and, you know, they have, you know, legitimate gripes and they feel disfranchised. And it's like they're doing everything they can to cover for these.
Oh, absolutely.
The armed protesters, they didn't destroy anything. You know, they left the streets cleaner than when they arrived.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I think this goes back, you know, in Charlottesville, as far as the Trump presidency, you know, Charlottesville stunk to high heaven to me. That I think his name was Jason Kessler. He was like the organizer of Unite the Right rally or whatever. The guy was an Obama supporter who was, I believe, in anti-gun groups or something. I mean, this guy was as shady as they came, but supposedly he arranged, you know, that Unite the Right rally, unless he had some dramatic change of heart within a matter of months to completely switch from an anti-Second Amendment Obama supporter to suddenly being an alt-right militia guy. You know, I think that was some kind of an operation, too. So these things happen all the time. As far as the media goes, I mean, we know what to expect for the media. I mean, you're just not going to get any truth from them, which makes it all that, you know, that much harder to try to figure out exactly what's going on.
Well, I think it does go back to Saul Alinsky's playbook.
Yes.
You know, never let a crisis go to waste. Or you could also say order out of the Fabian playbook is order out of chaos.
Yeah, the problem is those playbooks are used by so many different groups. And so what everybody does is we look at it, and believe me, I'm no Antifa or George Soros fan without it. I mean, no, not at all. But I also realize a lot of what we're seeing now is also out of playbooks that we have used, our government, you know, particularly through things like the CIA in other countries. I mean, it has a flavor like that. Are we getting a taste of our own medicine? This could be, I mean, other countries could be doing this, our own government for I don't know what reason could be doing it. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so much manipulation of people, particularly in heated situations like this, that I don't think it's just one thing. I think Antifa is out there. I think George Soros' fingerprints are all over this. I just don't think he's the only one.
Now, I do think this is kind of rooted in Marxism, you know, because all the groups, the playbooks that you're talking about, normally those are all, you know, they may be diverse groups, but they're all tend to be towards the left. It seems like the right can't get organized for anything. The saying is a lie goes halfway around the world before the truth gets out of bed.
Well, that's true. But look, I mean, I don't think there's going to be very many people in this country that are sympathetic to the rioters. Now, there is a real distinction. There are a lot of people out there protesting that are not taking advantage. And then I saw pictures yesterday, I think it was Philadelphia, of this line of police cars that were parked in the middle of the road. I don't know if you've seen this, but there was just packs of people stomping on the cars, breaking them open, ripping stuff out of them, throwing paper all over them. I mean, they were just destroying every police car they could get. And I didn't see nary an arrest, no police officer even in sight. Those kinds of things are opportunists. They have nothing to do with protest, and we know that. So we have to be able to mentally and honestly say there are people out there who were just protesting, and they're in their right to do so. And then there are these opportunists. They're just thugs. And then there are the people that you're talking about that are politically motivated in this. Now, for the people who are the Marxists that are doing all this stuff, isn't this hurting their cause? Do you think it's ultimately helping them? Isn't public perception going to turn on people who set buildings on fire, who run through, even people who have a problem with the police who are protesting? A lot of them don't want to see the police run over with a car. You know what I'm saying? It seems like, see, in the civil rights time, there were undercover people, and this has been in other rallies too of peaceful protesters. They will send undercover people out there to start. I mean, look at the things like what the FBI does with terrorist guys. They go out and find some disaffected guy who's all by himself, who visits an ISIS website, and then they groom him. He has no means to attack anybody, no funding, no capability, no nothing. But they spoon feed him everything until he gets to the point where he's ready to go operational, and then they bust him and call it a victory for the war on terror. And these kinds of things are going on. I'm not saying this is all our government. I'm not saying this is CIA or FBI or anything. What I'm saying is there's all of this stoking of these things. And I don't know if this is Marxist. I think they're the dumbest they've ever been, because they are making themselves look absolutely horrible. And the average American, got to be in the 80 percentile in this country, can look at the violence and the property destruction and say, we want no part of that.
Well, I do think that there's like a divide in this country. It seems like, and you have a valid point. You know, it does seem like this wouldn't do anything to gather public sentiment for your cause. I mean, you know, the average middle age or older American looks at this and say, God, these people are crazy. But it does also seem like the young generation, the millennials, the snowflakes, or whatever you want to call them, are being energized by this.
Yeah, they're definitely that.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that that's true too. I don't know. It is extremely confusing, and the sad thing is, it's like coronavirus. It's like anything. We will never know the truth, because nobody is ever held accountable for these things. George Soros has been up to this stuff for forever. He's flying around on his G7. You know, I mean, the guy's never held accountable for anything. No elites are ever held accountable for any of these kinds of things. And so you just, we never get to the bottom of it. So it's everybody is left pointing the fingers at somebody. We know it's this person, or we know it's this group, or we know this is going on. But nothing ever happens, so we don't ever really know. There's no prosecutions. It's never brought to light. God knows the media is not ever going to cover it. So we're just left with all of these ideas. I mean, I absolutely believe what you're saying. I hope you understand. I'm not at all trying to counterpoint you at all. I'm just saying that this stuff is just so confusing, and there's so many dirty players involved.
I find myself like, I mean, it's more of speculation of why and you know, what is the purpose, and I'm not an insider. I'm not allowed to sit into their secret meetings. So from the outside, all I can do is speculate, why would they do this? But
Well, one thing that I'm a little scared of right now is that the idea is to provoke a response like the one that Trump is proposing right now. Now, whether you agree with it or not, you know, mobilizing the military in American cities or whatever, I mean, it may be necessary. As I say, this is a very difficult situation for him, for governors, for mayors, for everybody. Some will handle it well, some will be terrible. So there's no easy answer here. But if these people are just hell-bent on starting a civil war in this country, you know, provoking a big response from government, and then it goes haywire, you know, if that goes wrong, you can imagine if the military hits the streets, and God love them, I hate to think that the military is going to be put in a position where they are having to face off with the American people, even if it's some of the thugs of America. It's just, that's a tough optic for us to swallow, because it doesn't happen here very often. But if something goes off the rails and people get really out of hand and the military is forced to respond, that could stoke some real serious problems in this country.
No, I agree with that 100%. You just look at, well, like Penn State. I mean, they're still singing the song, Four Dead in Ohio, and that was during Vietnam, what, about 50 years ago?
Right. I mean, that has the potential. And I'm not saying it's wrong. This is a very, very tough one. How do you crack down and enforce law and order during protests that are all about, you know, abuse, police abuse? Now, I know people will say, well, it's not all about that. Some people just want to get some stuff. Yes, obviously. But this is about, you know, abusing people is how this thing started with George Floyd and other incidents that have happened. So you have to actually be careful of the optics. And I've if anything, they may be trying to stoke a really, really drastic reaction. And then if that goes wrong, we could have some real serious problems. That's my biggest fear right now.
Yeah, well, I just wish we could go to the source, and I know it'll never happen.
Never happen.
But like you're talking about the elites who are basically pulling the levers of power and manipulating all of this. You know, we've already seen Bill Barr say, yeah, there's something to it, but we're not going to, you know, like with Obama and Comey, but we're not going to, you know, they're not going to face any prosecution. But that is where it should start, but that's where it's never going to happen.
No, and that's the basis of this show for 2 hours a day, is the us against them. I know we love it, red versus blue, black versus white, and all that stuff. It should be the 99.9 versus the 0.1, and I don't mean violent. I mean, just understand that, you know, Bob Barr doesn't know party. I think Bob Barr is a swamp creature myself. But these elites, they don't know party. They don't care. They own both parties, and that's why they are above the law.
Exactly. And I know you got to go, but we're all being played.
Yeah.
You know, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, us, you know, we're all being played.
Oh, the people in the street.
We just need to wake up and say, hey, you know, I don't want to be yo-yo anymore.
Yeah, the people in the street are just being used. I mean, their safety doesn't matter to the people who are orchestrating this stuff. They don't care about them. They're not on their team. They are just there to stoke a bunch of hate for their own goals, and people are just dumb. But, you know, this happens with political parties. We all line up behind whatever we're just told to do. It's depressing to watch. But anyway, thanks for the call. Got to run to a break.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, quick break. Be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'll tell you something right now that I think is a story that's happening right now as we speak that nobody will pay any attention to, but I think it's worth mentioning. What have we seen here? We've seen 40 million people put out of work. We've seen people locked in their homes. We've seen churches closed. Businesses shutter, many of them never open again. We're seeing violence in something like 140 cities, or protests in 140 cities, and extreme violence in many cities right now. And it's not close to being solved. Hopefully this is a, you know, this is a 2 week episode. We've seen these before. They go away. They seem very apocalyptic while they're happening, and then suddenly they peter out. But while all this is going on, the stock market today is up and has been throughout. And the reason for that is not because the economy is booming, not because things are rosy, not because we're all prosperous and everything's blooming again in America. The reason for that is that behind the scenes, while we're out in the street, literally, you know, usually I talk about Twitter fights. Everybody up lining up behind their favorite politician and their favorite party and screaming at each other and calling them tards. Now we're literally in the streets fighting with each other. Some, in some cases, killing each other. The Federal Reserve is printing as much money as Wall Street wants. They have said they are ready to do unlimited things. And they're going to end up owning it all. That may sound, they're going to give you enough. I mean, you're going to get to keep your flower shop or whatever. You know,
You've got to have that kind of illusion of some free market capitalism here in the United States so we don't all end up in the streets. I believe at some point we will. But I got to tell you, as much as it makes my stomach hurt a little bit, Bernie Sanders is right. The elites have been robbing us, looting us for 40 years, that's the phrase he uses, for the last 12, unabashedly, right in our faces. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars go to Wall Street. And it's happening right now. You can hear, if you listen closely, you can hear that computer. You can hear the whirr of the servers. Or whoever it is that has the magic keyboard just creates money out of thin air. And they tie us to it as collateral as they shoot it out. I guess they send it like in an email. Hey, J.P. Morgan, here's $1 billion for you today. Knock yourselves out. Go have some fun. Pay us back whenever you get a chance. It's 0% interest. Do whatever you want to do. In the face of all this, the market continually goes higher. They're giving corporations 0% interest. They're going out and they're buying their shares again. Stock buybacks are back. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Unprecedented. And again, we've already done 10x, 10 times what we did in 2008, and nobody's batting an eye about it. Now, I am as outraged as anybody else here to see somebody smash a window and take a pair of underpants from a looted retailer. Makes me sick. These people should be arrested. They should be held accountable for it. But good Lord. The printing of money, this endless stream of free money to Wall Street, what the Federal Reserve is doing is what's helping create that person that's so desperate in the streets or just whatever their problem is that they would bust into a store and go grab a bunch of free stuff, take advantage of a protest situation like this to go out and just rob people. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here to say there are truly in the inner cities some pretty desperate areas, and it's things like the Fed policies. You know, if you've got $1 billion and food prices go up by 3%, 5%, 10%, if the price of steaks doubles, do you care if you have $1 billion? If you make $22,000 a year, you care. It hurts. Inflation is the most nefarious tax that most people don't talk about as a tax, but it is. It's our government, hand in hand with the Federal Reserve, debasing the value of our currency, which makes more and more people desperate. It's why the middle class is shrinking. Now, I guess I can't get anybody's attention on that for at least until these protests are over. We just want to talk about the looters, and we should. We absolutely should. They're criminals. They should be held accountable. Trump's right. You got to start making some arrests. You got to try these people. You got to send a message to the people. This is unacceptable. No doubt about that. But boy, as I said yesterday, the OG gangsters, I'm talking about the corruption, is going on completely unabated up to and including this minute. I'll take a call real quick here. Hey, how are you doing? You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to address what you were currently addressing. I'll turn 70 next year. Went to college in Ohio in the 60s. And I'm noticing similarities in the fact that the government at that time created the climate that precipitated those riots. And I think a good case could be made that obviously they've done it again.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. These are failed policies we're seeing enacted. And it is not just Democrats. The Democrats have been bad at it. Believe me, they have not run their cities well. But I mean, as I say, you show me a problem in society, I'll show you the government source of it. Go ahead.
I saw a guy, I watched the space launch, and I'm sure this guy no longer has a job, but he was a friend of one of the astronauts. And they asked him the question, well, what do you think about private enterprise and NASA teaming up? And he basically said, and I mean almost verbatim, well, government doesn't actually have a really good track record of doing anything on time,
right,
on budget, or effectively. So this is really the only way to do it. And he said, you know, look at how they're handling the coronavirus. And I'm like, he must be ready to retire. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, he pointed out the obvious, how terrible. Hey, look, I really like the call. If you want to call back next hour, but I've got to take a break. I'm about to run out of time here, but I'd love to talk. If you want to call back after the 10 o'clock, please do.
Will do, sir.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, I got to run to a break. Be right back.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
You know, the problem that I see as an observer, again, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I didn't pick a side. No. I'm a libertarian-minded guy, and I realize both of these parties have sold us out. The problem is that neither side will hold their side accountable. What Democrats have done to their cities should be patently obvious to the Democrats who live in those cities. The thing is that they think, well, they just haven't spent enough money on this or that. As budgets continue to swell and deficits rack up, these cities are in massive amounts of debt, and Democrats continue to cling to the idea it's just because they haven't given enough resources to and then name the program. But on the right, I mean, look at what's happened to education. I mean, we can look at these protesters, particularly the rioters, these people who are out there breaking stuff. Probably not the most well-educated group of people. Can we probably assume that's the case? Let's at least hope that's the case. And yet Republicans have run the Department of Education many, many times. Reagan, 8 years. H.W., 4 years. But W., 8 years of education. What's happened over that period of time? I'm sure God knows what disasters Clinton and Obama gave us Common Core, certainly. But Republicans get these departments. They don't do anything with them. Education has gotten worse. It doesn't matter what party's in charge. And all of these policies end up in what we're seeing right now. But we like to react. We like to wait until the problem is like, you know, an emergency right in our face. And then we start saying, well, this is wrong. And that's the one thing I like about kind of the libertarian-minded people, that they've got a core set of beliefs. They don't have to carry water for one party or another, look the other way while George W. Bush does No Child Behind, some giant overarching education initiative. See, libertarians don't have to look the other way because they're not carrying water for George Bush. They attack that program, and then they attack Common Core. And they try to get more people's attention about these things, but people don't want to pay attention to it when their guy's in charge. And so this marches on and on and on. We refuse to look at the core reasons for these things. We just wait until they boil over, and then we scream about them and ask for help then.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'm interested to hear people's take on the way Donald Trump is handling this thing. This is a toughie. These are the times, and there's a lot of these times, Who wants this job? I mean, who wants to be president of the United States? I would like it. I would like it because I would do so little. I would undo a bunch of stuff. So I wouldn't have to be real proactive in a bunch of different areas. A lot of people rebel against that. But I think that the fact is that the federal government does too much, and it is kind of laid bare at these problems we see now as part of that. It's a great take on it from a writer at the American Institute for Economic Research. In just a couple of sentences, they said, I thought, wow, this is seems right to me. They say, the fires that burn in our cities today were born long ago with government impositions in every aspect of our lives. The impositions date back many generations. In the course of 3 months, the lockdowns stacked the wood. Floyd's murder was the match. Then you look at what this government has done, and state and local governments have done during the course of 2020. And I got to tell you, as somebody who believes in some level of personal freedom, holy cow. Now, I did my scans of national conservative radio show hosts. I also scan liberal media. I don't talk about that a whole lot. I just try to kind of get the nut job takes on things that I see sometimes. You know, I get a Huffington Post, and I don't have a bubble. I don't even just stay in like libertarian free thinker sites. I don't do that. I go to Drudge. I go to Breitbart. I go to Huffington Post. I watch CBS, MSNBC. I'll watch whatever I need to watch. I'm just trying to kind of take a temperature of things. 95% of the time when I listen to things, I just think, wow, that's wrong. Because it's one of the two, you know, one of the two cults talking it up. Now, I listen to a national conservative host, and this was just interesting to me. Just bear with me for a second. People are going to get mad at me. Trigger alert. They were talking about Trump retreating to the bunker. And they were saying, and they may be right. They may be right. I said, well, the Secret Service makes that call. Trump doesn't make that call. He has to go. So, you know, presidents, they can say no to a lot of things, but this might have been one of those things that apparently there's a line where the Secret Service just doesn't, you know, they just say it's time to go. And look, that night, a lot of Secret Service agents had been hurt, and there's obviously a great deal of issue there. But apparently this did not play well. A lot of people pointed to Trump while the cities were burning, retreating to this bunker. I'm not here to judge that action, but I am here to tell you, if that had been Obama, I doubt I would have turned on conservative talk show radio and heard them explaining why Obama didn't have a choice. And that is the thing that I see as an outside observer. I'm able to watch in real time what I know is hypocrisy. If Obama had gone to a bunker, conservatives would say, look at that chicken blank. He's got the cities burning around the country, and he's hiding out at the bottom of the White House. You know you would have said it. So now I'd like to know from you, number one, what should Trump do? Is calling up the military, is that a good idea? Is this what we need to do to restore order? Obviously, this is a bad situation. Maybe it only lasts two more nights, or maybe this leads into something bigger if we don't get this under control now. It's one of those things you don't know. Is it good to call out the military? How about the trek to the church yesterday? From my outsider perspective, if you're interested in what an objective observer looks at, I say, boy, that was a silver platter handing of an issue to Joe Biden and the Democrats, just a slam dunk, to clear out protesters to go and stand in front of a church for no particular purpose. The scenes from that are pretty horrible. This is where, I believe in the clearing out of that, it's where the police officer basically attacks the Australian news crew to get them out of the way so Trump can walk across the street and stand in front of a church and hold up a Bible. That is not going to play well. That is one of these issues, and I've said, you know, and kind of still believe that the only person that can beat Donald Trump in November is Donald Trump. And I think that was Donald Trump taking on Donald Trump yesterday. Now, this issue will be supplanted by something else. But, you know, it's funny. When you see something like Joe Biden go on Charlemagne the God's show and say, you ain't black, if you're trying to decide between voting for me or Donald Trump, then you ain't black. And when you hear those things, what goes on in my mind is I just think, oh, wow, that's going to make for some fantastic campaign commercials. I mean, it's just tailor-made for an attack ad on Joe Biden. What a slam dunk. You can do it with humor. You can do it seriously. I mean, it's all kinds of uses. And Joe Biden constantly provides these kinds of gaffes that are just ripe for political attack ads. What Donald Trump did yesterday for the church, perfect for a campaign attack ad. A lot of his tweets, perfect for campaign attack ads. And it would seem like at some point you'd stop giving him the ammunition. Now, I know a lot of people love to see this fighter instinct in Donald Trump, the strength that he shows. The question will be, is it actually effective? Is it winning people over to his side? Is it improving things? President Trump slammed governors of Democrat-run states as weak after nationwide protests over the death of George Floyd turns into violent protest. Quote, most of you are weak, unquote, Trump told the nation's governors during a Monday morning phone call, while Attorney General Barr, who was on the call, advised them to dominate the situation and, quote, take back your streets, according to AP, citing multiple sources familiar with the call. Now, we've heard this. I don't have the audio of it. The president told the governors they were making themselves, quote, look like fools, unquote, for not calling up more of the National Guard as a show of force on the streets. Attorney General Bill Barr, who was on the call, told governors that a joint terrorist task force would be used to track the agitators and urged local officials to dominate the streets and control, not react to crowds, and urge them to go after troublemakers. There was a lot of this talk about dominating. Secretary of Defense, the former Raytheon executive, Mark Esper, was brought in. I believe he was on this call where he said to dominate the battle space. Now, rolling out the military to take care of this situation is one way to go. Certainly seems like the police are outmanned or poorly led in some areas. As I watched that scene from, I believe it was Philadelphia, where there was a line. There must have been 10 or 12 police cars. And when you look at the footage, I don't know if it was helicopter or drone, but you could see kind of an intersection down the road where there were several police officers, not a lot, maybe a dozen, maybe 20 police officers kind of in an intersection doing some work, but they had parked their cars along the middle of a road down that road. And these people were attacking those police cruisers, destroying them, and they were unmolested by any authorities whatsoever. I mean, there was nobody with a badge on in sight as they just decimated these police cars. So I assume that's either a stand-down order from high above or that is being completely overwhelmed and undermanned. All right, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, good.
Wanted to finish up the thought. I was very active in the anti-war movement in the 60s in Ohio, and I've seen firsthand what it's like when the National Guard shows up and you have to go through a checkpoint to get on campus, and It was frightening then. It'll be just as frightening now. I have no idea what Trump's going to do. As a matter of fact, I have no idea about anything. I've seen it in protests that were anything but peaceful. Fast forward 50 years, and I'm now working as a armed security guard. And so I guess I'm seeing it now from the other side. And my mindset hasn't changed at all. It's like, you know, what are they doing to us?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is going to be, if even the National Guard, but in particular, calling out active duty military onto our streets is a big gamble. Because if that goes sideways, if there's an overreaction by the military, and believe me, they're going to be faced with some very, very difficult decisions. I wouldn't want to be them. I wouldn't want to be in charge of them because, you know, how aggressive do you get and who do you target? Because there's, you know, in these streets, it is very difficult in a mob to, particularly of a bunch of people wearing hoodies and masks and everything else, to somehow differentiate between the people that are actually throwing rocks and looting versus the people that are trying to peacefully protest among the looters. And if the military is called in and on Trump's watch and overreacts, that is going to be a disaster for Donald Trump and possibly for the country, depending on how bad it gets.
It's pretty much a given that it will. As you just said, and given the fact that a lot of the stuff is being ginned up by agents provocateurs, I suppose you would say.
Yeah.
Like you say, who's peaceful and who's not. And one thing we learned at Kent State, don't make people with guns feel silly.
Yeah.
They will shoot you.
Well, you know, one thing that I saw that was really very interesting and encouraging, I don't know how widespread it will become, but I saw several scenes of protesters who physically detained troublemakers and handed them over to the police.
I have seen that.
Yeah, and that is so wise of them. That is actually probably the best solution to it all, is that these people who have something to say on the streets peacefully actually surround these troublemakers when they see them, be them agent provocateurs or just idiots out there among them, and take them down themselves and call the police in to work with the police. I mean, there's been a lot of that. A lot of police approaching with some empathy and some understanding the peaceful protesters. It makes for an incredibly tense and confusing situation. I wouldn't want to be on any side of this thing, I got to say. This is not an easy one. I will sit in this chair and judge a whole lot of things that happen in this country. This is a very difficult one to really figure out what's the right thing to do.
I have no clue, Mike. That's why I'm listening to you. So
yeah, well, we won't get any answers here. We're going to see how this has played out. But I tell you, active duty military on the streets of America has the potential to really, really go sideways. It may go great, too. It may be exactly what's needed. I do not know. I'm not prejudging it. But as a libertarian, I got to tell you, the idea of deploying the military in the Insurrection Act is probably popular with people a lot more than it is with me, just because that gets into some territory that I really wish we didn't have to go to, but maybe we're forced there. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one, buddy.
You
keep
too.
Doing what to do.
All right. Thanks, man. Bye-bye. All right. Run to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Curious to know what you do if you're Donald Trump. I think the march to the church yesterday was a disaster. I think that was a terrible, terrible idea. If you had to disperse a crowd, wouldn't it be great? I know this is, believe me, this is pie in the sky stuff in today's times. But if we had built a nation where President of the United States could walk out of the White House into a crowd of protesters with security, I mean, kind of like a boxer comes out of the tunnel during a fight. Then you're not going to let people grab onto him and snatch him up or anything like that. You have some security, but you're in the crowd doing your thing. We've built this level of royalty around our politicians where whole streets, I don't know how many times in Washington, D.C., you have to arrange, the plebs out there have to arrange their travel plans around whatever level of motorcade. And it's not just the President of the United States. If Mike Pompeo wants to go somewhere, you shut down streets. None of you ordinary citizens may pass. Mike Pompeo is coming through with his entourage and his heavily armored car. And yeah, I know, we've got all these enemies around the world that are always out to get us. We've got to protect our precious leaders. It would just be nice. I mean, I got to tell you, even in other countries around the world, even in some of these really backward places, presidents just, they move about the country. And that's fraught with its dangers, but here it's this militaristic mindset around our leaders that this is not a Trump thing. This is any of them. I mean, just this idea that ordinary people can't get within a stone's throw of our leadership. And this is why government is best the smaller it gets, the more accessible those leaders are. Not very many people have Donald Trump's ears. A lot of people think they're his best friends, but they don't. You know, we don't have his ears. We don't get to say much to him. So I'm wondering what people think about calling the active duty military in. Is it just necessary now? We just gotten to that point. Obviously, there are states that are not handling this well. Obviously, it's not being handled well. It's not being handled well by some of the protesters. It's not being handled at all well by the thugs that are out there looting and burning stuff down. It's not being handled well by some mayors and governors. And is it for Trump to step in? Again, I even in times like this, one of the problems I have, and got into a conversation with somebody about this last night, is that one of the things that kind of caused me to leave the Republican Party or kind of wake up to the idea that the Republican Party wasn't what I thought it was that when I saw big government things going on, I looked around and none of my Republican compadres were with me on this overreach. Now, I heard them during the Clinton administration. I would have conversations with them about the government getting too big and doing too much stuff. But then George Bush comes in and you see things like the Patriot Act and Medicare Part D. And I looked around at my other Republicans and said, we're not down with this, are we? And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders. Well, you know, it's Bush. We're not going to do anything about it. And to me, I thought our goal was to keep a small, limited government that didn't spend a buttload of money. Oh, we're only for that when it's the Clinton administration. But when Bush comes in, it's Katie bar the door for spending, and the government can do whatever it wants to, including spying on its own citizens. And that's when I said, oh, I don't want any part of that. That's not who I am. I don't think that's right, regardless of the person that's there or not. And so the words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth to me are very militaristic. Now, maybe that's called for. I'm ready to say, look, maybe he may roll out the military, quell the violence. The protesters actually are served by this. I mean, the people who are out there with pure motives of just pure protest, which whether or not you agree with their issue, it is an American right, fairly unique. But we've seen the French. I mean, I make this point for the last year. The French had the stones. I mean, it took them about 25, 30 years of socialism, soft socialism in their country before they finally realized they were getting screwed over. But at least they finally realized it, and the Yellow Vests took to the streets by the millions. And I was always kind of amazed that the French had the courage to take to the streets over, you know, economic issues. And I didn't take a shooting or anything. They finally just, it was some little tax that was going to be passed on them. I think it was a fuel tax, wasn't it? And they said, hell no, that's it. That's the final straw. And they took to the street. And I was like, wow, look at the French growing a pair while Americans just sit back and watch the trillions flow out of the Fed, watch fees, fines, and taxes go up all around us while the education gets worse. And we absolutely do nothing. So whether you applaud or oppose the protesters, I mean, the military may be able to come in there and weed out the bad actors and make a nice peaceful platform for the people who are of pure motives. Maybe that works. But I am on guard against this idea of we are going to come in and start cracking some heads to enforce law and order, because I know you're putting our troops, it's the same problem that I have with sending our troops halfway around the world. Some politicians and bureaucrats get together and they decide what needs to happen in Iraq. And they stay back here in their air-conditioned offices being taken from place to place by armor-plated SUV, but they send our sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, moms and dads halfway around the world and say, all right, now go do that thing. Go do that thing. We don't like Saddam Hussein. Go get that guy, take him out, crack down on the people, uphold the peace, disband their military, and then just ride it out over there. Keep order. Go do it. And our troops are like, okay, I mean, we did sign up and all. If you say this is what works, then we believe in you. Then they head over there and do it. We put our troops and our police in the most unfortunate situations. And it seems to me that it should be the duty of the American people to stop politicians and bureaucrats from putting our police in bad situations, having them enforce laws on victimless crimes. You know, I've talked to police officers who are against the war on drugs, and believe me, there are many. And one thing that they call attention to a lot is the fact that what's happened is in policing over the last 40 to 50 years, particularly as the drug war got ramped up, that those are the easy crimes and they're the most lucrative crimes in terms of seizing assets and seizing cash, making big splashing headlines with tables full of marijuana and stuff. Now, not to mention the fact that a lot of the violence on the streets, a vast majority of the violence you see on the streets is a direct result of the drug war itself. So you're actually, the drug war itself actually creates crimes with real victims by outlawing something that does not have a victim, an outside victim. People who get addicted to drugs, they are self-inflicting a wound. But what happens is you get your police officers involved in this drug war, and since that has really happened, the solve rate, the case solve rate for things like homicides and rapes and property theft has gone down, 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 down. All those things that you want the police to do, which is to protect your body and protect your property, those things aren't as big a priority as the war on drugs because they're harder. And the police resources have been taken to go out and patrol these communities and enforce these rules because a politician stands up and says, we will not have that plant in this society. Now, again, I'm not here promoting drug use. Understand, people, this is a difficult one for people. But they come out and they tell you, and I'm going to say this again because I think it's so illustrative. You can have the plant that leads to a beer. You can have the plants that lead to a glass of wine. And you can have the plants that lead to a bottle of bourbon. But you cannot have the plant that leads to a joint. And then they force the police out there. Okay, go enforce this. This is what we've decided. Go out and enforce it. And the police get put in the most unfortunate situations of busting in doors. Cops are killed. Innocent people are killed. Just last week or week before last, there was another pre-dawn raid where a girl was shot dead. Police busted in. They found no drugs, no nothing. Girl's dead. The other side of that is the taxpayers end up paying for all of these things. There's the recent video now of the police in Atlanta. I don't know the whole story, so I don't know if they were overreacting, but the video is not good. I know there's always that 10 minutes before you see the video start that really needs to be out there. We don't rarely get the whole truth on the first video, viral video that goes out, but they bash open a couple of windows and tase a couple of college students and drag them out. They were all over the news today with their attorneys who were filing a civil suit against the city, and the taxpayers, again, will be on the hook for millions and millions and millions of dollars. Again, the taxpayer takes it in the shorts on all of these things, be it the wars or the excessive policing that our politicians have deemed necessary. Law and order is one thing. I think that term is a little bit abused. Law and order is used to say if a bunch of politicians get together and say this is allowed and this is not allowed, then that's it. No more debate. It must be moral because our leaders from on high told us that this is right and this is wrong. Now, we just saw that turned in on law-abiding people, right? Did you think you'd live to see a day where opening your barbershop was a crime? Well, we just saw it. And that was because, why? Because a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats in these cities and states said it's illegal to open up your barbershop. Well, isn't that law and order? I mean, they set in place policies and they told the police, go out there and arrest anybody who tries to open a barbershop or a restaurant or a retail clothing outlet. If you love law and order, well, then the police were just doing their job, enforcing law and order. It came down from on high. No haircuts. We need to be able to start parsing through these things and recognizing when politicians and people in authority overstep their bounds. I saw this in Madison County, where they hired gung-ho code enforcers and said, you go out and go through these neighborhoods, not when a neighbor complains, not when somebody's got a old rusted refrigerator in their front yard and a car up on cinder blocks that just looks like absolute trailer trash, but you go up and down the streets, and here we got a pair of binoculars for you, and you look down the sides of the house and make sure there's no fascia board that needs to be replaced. And if there is, you issue a summons, not a little friendly note that said, hey, didn't know if you'd noticed, but you got a board there that's starting to rot a little bit. That stuff can get worse. You might want to take care of it. No, not that. You send them a 3-page summons. They're in violation. And that's what police and enforcers are sent out to do, take these dictates of these politicians. And this is somehow law and order, where we're overlawed. And it's leading to less order. I don't know if you've noticed. Again, from the American Institute for Economic Research, the fires that burn in our cities today were born long ago with government impositions in every aspect of our lives. The impositions date back many generations. In the course of 3 months, the lockdown stacked the wood. Floyd's murder was the match.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
You know, I was saying earlier, and I do this all the time, I scan conservative talk radio, I scan conservative sites to see what other people are saying, and then I kind of gird myself for how different I'm going to be when I come on this air. I know it is not popular. For some reason, a lot of what Trump does that I just don't understand is real popular with a lot of people. I just flat out don't understand it. I see zero value in walking over to that church yesterday and holding up a Bible. I mean, zero. Now, the fact that his base likes it, for some reason, I don't even understand why you really like that or even care. But the fact that the base likes it, I'll be honest with you, he could have stood in the Oval Office with a Bible. He could have ridden a unicycle through the kitchen of the White House, and the base would have liked it. But setting himself up to walk across the street after having to roust who were the protesters that we're trying to encourage. I mean, not necessarily encouraging protesters, but, you know, we see the best and the worst of the people that are out in the streets right now. The people that were standing outside of the White House, notwithstanding the other night when they were attacking, but at this particular time, there were not people trying to breach the fence, but there were a lot of people standing over there near this church in that area across from the White House, and they weren't doing anything aggressive. They were doing what we're telling them to do, which is, I mean, every politician is getting out there and saying this. I mean, look, Trump doesn't like the protests. The Democratic governors don't like these protests. It's a big hairy pain in their butt, even if they weren't violent. You got to shut down streets. You got to do resources to it. You got to go to do press conferences talking about it. I mean, all politicians hate it when we interrupt their normal course of action. Trust me. They just want to go about the business of, the, you know, whatever they got into office for. It was certainly not having to deal with a bunch of uppity citizens. But I see no value in going over there. And I also believe, and again, as I say, I explore a lot of conservative media and know how unpopular some of the things I say when I come on here are. Like, I'm bashing Donald Trump. I am examining a president. I don't care what his name is. I don't care what his party is. I look at it through an independent, nonpartisan lens, and I look at that, and if it had been President George W. Bush or President Maxine Waters, I don't care who would have been standing there, I would just look at it and go, what good did you do? You created a ton of optics for your opposition, and you stood there for 1 minute with the Bible? Is this a rallying call to Christians that somehow the tide has turned and that we're, I mean, you know, I don't even see it as symbolically worth anything. You got headlines out now that are saying the clergy from that own church was tear gassed. I don't know. Maybe that's the left wing crazy media. Well, don't give the left wing crazy media things that they can spin then if they're lying about it. I know you can't avoid all of them, but don't serve yourself up. I mean, I think this is just was so silly. And I was talking to Brian off air just a second ago, and he made a good point. He said, yeah, I mean, he could have gone over. I mean, I asked him. I think he kind of supports him walking over there. I said, well, why did he have to go? There was 25 minutes left in the day, and the protesters were supposed to disperse by the 7 o'clock curfew. Why didn't he go after that? And Brian said, why did he go at 9 o'clock in the morning? That's a good point. Before people wake out of their beds and take to the streets, maybe that would have been a good time. Go out, you know, the police go out there and say, look, president's going to be moving around at 8 o'clock. I mean, maybe you can't give people that much advance notice of something like that, but at least you would be dispersing fewer people, and they'd still be a little sleepy. You know, they'd still be rubbing their eyes. A lot of the Starbucks have been burned down, so they couldn't even get their morning coffee. You just go out there and kind of, you know, while they're still kind of docile in the morning. It's kind of like, you know, attacking ants. You don't want to get ants riled up in the afternoon when the heat's there and they're all out there working. You want to catch them when they're all napping. So go out there when the protesters are kind of docile and sleepy and move them to the side and do your photo op and then go back. But to go into the bulk of it in the middle of the day and use tear gas, rubber bullets, and riot shields to move people out of the way to go over and take a picture, I think was absolutely asinine. And there's a phenomenon going on now that I think is kind of interesting, and it's, I'm sure it's happened in politics before. I think it's just kind of everything is more now, you know what I mean? When it comes to policy, we're more partisan than we used to be. We're more divided than we used to be. I think Trump exacerbates that, and the media then exacerbates that because of Trump, and then the Democrats exacerbate it on top of that exacerbation, and it's just leading to this huge division and all this hatred, and you know, families can't even get together for holidays anymore if they're on opposite sides of political stuff. It used to be an American tradition of getting together in holidays and arguing about politics. You know, that's what you did. But at the end of the day, you exchanged presidents, you hugged each other, you went about your business. Now it's like, oh no, you're not even invited. We don't even want you. Well, I'm not going over to my mom's house. She's a Trump supporter. There's no way I can go over there and deal with those Nazis. I mean, you know, that's where we've gotten with this stuff. But if you support Donald Trump and want to see him get reelected, you need to start taking seriously a little bit of my objections to him, because I'm kind of a segment of the society. Now, not very many libertarians who really just want real freedom and what I say I actually mean. You know what I mean? There's not very many of me. But when you see things like Ann Coulter kind of distancing herself, well, not even distancing, she's flat out mad, furious at Donald Trump right now. Instead of just lashing out and saying, oh, Ann Coulter's a has-been, and I mean, I see all the most vile comments made at Ann Coulter. She wrote a book called In Trump We Trust, and now she's against Donald Trump. You should take that seriously, not just scream at her like she's the one that's lost her mind. And Trump has left me on many issues. As an enthusiastic voter for Donald Trump, I had to hold my nose to vote for one of the two major parties this time. I haven't done it since George W. Bush in 2004. I have voted Constitution Party or Libertarian Party. But I held my nose and voted for Republican because Trump won me over with his campaign rhetoric. When he's lost me on a lot of issues, you should take that a little bit seriously. That's a threat. When you look at Drudge, and now Drudge is running headlines that are both critical and complimentary of Donald Trump. And I see it. You're right. There's more critical articles about Donald Trump on Drudge right now. So what do? You scream that Donald Trump's gone over to the dark side, that Donald Trump's some Biden-loving socialist. No, Matt Drudge is some socialist now. No, he's not. Trump left him. That's what he sees. Matt Drudge sees Trump doing things that he doesn't like. Matt Drudge was a very vocal supporter. When Andrew Napolitano, who carried a lot of water for Donald Trump all through the Russia investigation, says a couple of things, everybody turns on him like a pack of hyenas. You won't look at it and go, huh, maybe there are some things that Trump could fix and stop alienating some of the people who really supported him. If you're interested in him getting reelected, if you're interested in the Republicans getting the House back and keeping the Senate, if you're actually interested in winning on some things, you might engage the people who are disappointed in some of the actions of Donald Trump, be it Ann Coulter, Matt Drudge, or Mike Madison. But instead, you just label them, throw them away. We're the nut jobs. You must be a Biden supporter. I mean, it's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But that's where politics is now. You're either all in and you're on the team, or if you're critical at all, you're off the team and you're some kind of a socialist nut job Biden supporter. That is not going to bode well in this coming election. I got to tell you right now. I'll be right back. Oh, no!
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for today. In the libertarian world, what a lot of libertarians are shocked by is the number of people in this country that are what you call statists. You know, they just really want, they want all this power. They want all the rules. They want all the power exercised on the country. And it surprised me, too. It's really surprised me from the left. The left has become just an intolerant group of just fascists. I mean, seriously, we've seen this. That you can't. This is the former party of, you know, free speech and love and tolerance. I mean, I assume they were actually that one time. I certainly can't really remember it. But now you can't. You can't go to a college campus, the bastion of liberal values. You can't go to a college campus and say something that somebody might freak out about, some snowflake objects to. You've got to burn the place down before you let somebody with an opposing view speak. But it's equally on the right when I look at it and I see that people want... They want authoritarianism in this country as long as it's their authoritarian. Now, I'm not calling Trump a dictator or anything like that, but some of the rhetoric just gives me some pause. Now, he's about to roll out the military, probably. I hope it goes really well. It could be a big boon to Trump's presidency and his reelection chances if he rolls out the military and everything goes right. Because it will be seen as governors across the country, mayors across the country, losing complete control of their streets, which is what has happened, and Trump swoops in and restores order, and we go on with our lives. But boy, that is a risky, risky bet. It's not going to take much to go wrong for that narrative to go out the window. It's I'm sure they have done this calculation in the White House, and Trump wants to err on the side of being in control and being in charge and being the guy to get this done. And that's all good and well. Obviously, something needs to be done. But it comes with some serious political risk, because if we start getting footage of the military confronting American people, I got to tell you, that will look like footage coming from Iran and China, and it will be played that way. You can rest assured foreign countries and the domestic media will play it up exactly that way. I can imagine with what's going on right now, these police that are out there trying to do what they can, as outnumbered as they are, trying to distinguish the troublemakers from the peaceful protesters has got to be darn near impossible. But boy, a lot of innocent people are going to end up getting hurt in this thing. I ran across this too. I think I talked about this yesterday on the show. I talked about Antifa being designated a terrorist organization. I said, how long will it take until the Predator drones are hovering around the country? Then they get intel that an Antifa cell is somewhere, and then hellfire missile right then and there. Because now they're terrorists. You understand? There is a different rule of engagement for the government when you have a terrorist group. Am I a fan of Antifa? Oh, no. I think they should get the J.R. Smith treatment is what I think the best thing that could happen to Antifa is. I think these protesters should rout them out, detain them, and exterminate them with extreme prejudice. Not exterminate, the wrong term. They don't need to kill them. They need to teach them a lesson like J.R. Smith taught a lesson to that punk kid who damaged his car. He took him out, gave him a good whooping, and the kid went crying and running off. That's what should happen to Antifa. But now they're a terrorist organization, and they're going to be under different rules of engagement with that designation, which we need to be a little weary of. CBP number 0104 was first brought to our attention Friday morning after Radar Box spotted the surveillance drone spying on protesters in Minneapolis. The drone circled the city from more than once as it gathered intelligence on the federal government about the ongoing social unrest in the city. With a military drone in the skies and about 5,000 National Guard soldiers activated in U.S. states and Washington, D.C., it appears the federal government is gearing up for an extended period of social unrest. The drones, the Predator, this is a Customs and Border Patrol drone, but it is a Predator drone. It is now circling in the skies over Minneapolis right now. I don't know how long before these things get weaponized. Maybe I am Chicken Little here. Maybe I am erring on the side of really raising some red flags on something that I'm sure it'll be just fine. The government never goes too far, Mike. It'll all be fine. It's just to observe. I got to tell you, I don't want to live in a country that is constantly under drone surveillance. If this is a one-off, they're getting some intel. There's all kinds of different kinds of drones out there that you can put up in the sky. Police use them all the time. So do hobbyists. The Predator drone, I got to tell you, that one gets a little lump in my throat when I hear that that is circling over American cities right now, and now we've got the prospect of U.S. troops moving in as well. We'll see how it works out. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.